Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Megillah Daf Ches. We are right at the Mishnah on top of the Amud. We'll continue on the topic of Ein Bein, finding similarities and distinctions between two similar cases. We began a couple of days ago when we referenced the difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, the first and second Adar, regarding Purim and Kriyas Megillah, and that took us on to this topic of finding differences between similar scenarios. Says the Mishnah, Ein Bein, this is the first of five Mishnahs on this daf, discussing this topic. Ein Bein, there isn't much difference between the following two cases. Hamudur Hana Mechaveri, a person committed, he made a nether. I will refrain from having any benefit from you. That's called Hamudar, he made a nether. Hana'a Mechaveri, he cannot have any Hana'a from his friend. That's one case. So there's not much difference between that and the next case. Lemudar Mimenu Machal, he committed to refrain from anything food related from his friend. So isn't much difference between the two cases, except for the following two things. Ella, number one, Drisa Seregel, walking through his property. It's Hana, and therefore that's Aser, for a Mudar Hana, but it's not food-related, and therefore it's Mutar to this fellow who is only meant to refrain from Machal. He can walk through this fellow's property. That's number one. Second difference, Vikelem, borrowing utensils, She'ein Oysen Bahen Oichal Nefesh, which aren't food-related, not used in the food preparation process. So if you may not have Hana, you can't enjoy these kelim as well. But if it's only an iser of machal, you can borrow these kelim, which are not food related. Let's go over to Rashi on top. Masnis, Ein ben hamudur hana. Mudur hana is chomer, is certainly more strict and severe than mudur machal, because mudur hana cannot enjoy anything, whereas mudur machal is strictly food related. Two differences. Drisa seregel. Shamudur Hanoa also likonus lebeisai. If you can't have Hanoa, you can't walk into this fellow's home. Vamudur machal mutar. If it's just an isra machal, you may do that. Number two, vikelim. Shein oisin ben oichal nefesh, borrowing a kli which isn't used for food. Mutar lahashel mudur machal, that can be lent to a fellow who is only meant to refrain from machal. But it cannot be given to a fellow who may not have Hanoa. Now Rashi will add another aspect here. V'davke b'makom shein maskirin. K'yotzman. This heter, to supply him with a tool, a kli, which is not food related, only applies in a makom shein maskirin k'yotzman, where they don't have the practice of renting out these types of kelim. Avo b'makom shein maskirin k'yotzman. But if in this locale they rent these types of kelim, and you're not charging him for the rental, then even this fellow can't borrow the kli. It's not behedyo. We have a Mishnah. The Asur. You can't take it, because you're saving money. The Chol Hana. She'im lo yehano zeh. In any case of Hana, where if this fellow would not have given it to you, hayu machaser bapruta, he would have to pay for it. He wouldn't get it free of charge, would cost you money. That is Hanoas Machali. It's called a food-related Hanoa. Why? It's money, it's not food. Well, money buys food. Sharu Uya Oisa Pruta Liknos Ba Machal. You can take that pruta that you are saving, and money, a penny saved is a penny earned, you could use that money to buy food. So in effect, he's giving you Machal. So bottom line is, a mudar Machal may walk through his property, may borrow a kli, which is not meant for Oichal Nefesh, nor is generally rented, in which case he's not really getting any money. Back to the Gemara. Hal in Kalim, Sha'oisin behen Oichal Nefesh, Zevezer Shavin. It's clear in the Mishnah that regarding a kli which is used for Oichal Nefesh, a pot, a pan, that's usher in either case, both for the Mudu Harno and also for the Mudu Memenu Machal, because although he's not borrowing food, it's only a pot, but it's used to make food, and that's included in the Isser Hanoas Machal. drisas haregel, walking through his property, is only asr if you may not have hana. But not for a fellow who's only going to refrain from eichel. What's wrong with walking through his property? Halakapti inchi, who cares? Who's particular about people walking through their house? It's not something which is worth anything. Amar Rabba, Hamani or Blezi? We're following Shittas or Blezi. The Amar Vitor, even something which generally a person would just be mevater, wouldn't be particular about, it's still also b'mudar hano, a fellow who cannot have hano, may not enjoy this service as well. So bottom line is, there isn't much difference between mudar hano and mudar machal, except for two things. A mudar hano may not walk through his property, drisa seregel, or borrow a kli which is not eichel nefesh related. In both cases, mudar hano and machal, he can't borrow a kli which is used for eichel nefesh, nor, as Rashi pointed out, in a case where he's saving money on the rental. Continues the Mishnah. Ein bein nedarim l'davis. There isn't much difference between a nether, where a person obligates himself, he promises to bring a carbon, or an adava, where he points to an animal, this is going to be donated for the mikdash. There isn't much difference. Ein bein nedarim l'davis, ella, they're both valid karbanis. The only difference is your personal obligation, your personal responsibility to look after it. Shenedarim chay b'achrayuson, by another, you're personally obligated to look after it. It's a personal chiv, it's gavra chiv. When a dove is ene chay b'achrayuson, but an adava, if it gets lost, he doesn't have to look after it. Let's go over to Rashi, off to the right. Neder un adava, mefarash b'gemar. The Gemara will explain. Neder means ha'imer, harei alai oila. I will bring the oila. It's a personal obligation. Ula'achaz mani frisha, then he set aside the carbon for that chiyuv, chayev b'achrayusa, he has to look after it. Whereas nadava means, ha'imer harezu, this is going to be the carbon. But like kibla alav, he didn't accept responsibility to look after that carbon. Continues the Gemara. The only difference is, achrayus, apparently, ha, le'inin bal ta'achar, zev is a shoven, regarding the iso bal ta'achar, which tells us, that a person who's chayv a carbon can't delay bringing the carbon past a certain point, as we learned in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. That applies to both cases, neder or nedava. Both have to be brought in a timely fashion. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah over in Rosh Hashanah. Ezehu neder. What is a neder? Ha'imer harei alai oila. I will bring an oila. Ezehu nedava. What's a nedava? Ha'imer harei zu oila. Look, this animal is now designated for an oila. Now they're both karbonis. What's the difference? Uma bein nedarim l'davis. What's the difference between one and the other? The answer is nedarim. By a neder, where it's a personal obligation. Meisu enignu. Oy avdu. The animal died, got stolen or lost. Chayev b'chayusam. He has to look after it. He has to replace that animal. He has to be mekayim his personal chiyuv to bring that carbon. Whereas by nedavis we say, it's a chafza. It's the item, it's the object that's committed. And therefore, meisu oynignu oyavdu. If it got lost or stolen, ein chay b'achrayusam. He's not responsible. He doesn't have to look after it. He doesn't have to replace it. Minu hanemili. How do we know this to be true? The Tanu Rabbanan, River Bryce, based on the pasuk v'nirtza loy lechaper olav. Says Reb Shimon. You know what this means? Reb Shimon oymer esha olav chayav b'achrayusam. The nirtzaloi happens by lechaper. Only when the carbon is actually brought, that's when Hashem accepts it. It becomes rotzu to him. He's fulfilled his obligation. Lechaper brings the nirtza. But that's only when it's olav. When he committed personally. He did a neder. Then we say, the ritzu, the acceptance, the finding favor in Hashem's eyes, is dependent upon the actualization, the akrav of the karm. As she'olav chayev b'achrayusay, only when it's a personal obligation, then he's chayev b'achrayus, v'esheine olav. But otherwise, if it's not a personal obligation, if it's not resting on him, eine chayev b'achrayusay, sure, he has to bring it, but if it gets lost or stolen or dies, he doesn't have to replace it. And that's what we learn from this pasuk. My mashma, how do you see it in the pasuk? It says, v'nirtzaloi, l'chaper, olav. Olav means it's on him. How do you see from the word olav that it's an obligation. That only in the case of a nether does the ritzu happen through kapara. And therefore he has to look after it. My mashma, how do you see it in the pasuk? Amar b'yisabar abdimi. Kivin the Omar alive. When a person says, Harei alai oila, commanded ton, akat fei domit, as though it's been loaded akat fei on his shoulders. That's what the pasuk means. Olav, when it's olav, when it's a personal obligation, personal commitment, it's like resting on him. He has to bring it about. He has to carry it out, so to speak. So in the case of olav, then the ritzu is dependent upon kapara. But if it's not olav, it's a donation. Look, this carbon is committed as a carbon. Fine. It's a carbon, but if something happens to it, he still has ritzu. It's not a chiv that he has to look after, that he's responsible for, that he has to replace for a lost and stolen situation. So bottom line is, neder and adava, both forms of karbonis and commitment. Balta achra applies to both. Only difference is achrais. Achrais applies to neder and not to adava. Continues the Mishnah. Ein vein zav haroya shtei riyos. L'roya sholish elokarm. The only difference between a zav who experienced an emission of ziva twice, which makes him tummy, and the next fellow who saw three times, that makes him tummy. They're both really tummy and they have the same exact tumma. Only difference is karm. A fellow who had two riyos doesn't bring a karm during the tahara process. The zav who had three riyos, he will bring a karm. Says Rashi off to the right, Masnis and Shteriyos. B'yom Echad, he had both sightings on the same day. Oy b'shnei yom ritzufim, or 2 days in a row. V'chein sholosh b'yom Echad. Oy b'shlosh yom ritzufim. Oy shtayim b'yom Echad. V'achas l'machar. So he had two or three riyos within a period of 2 days, or by three riyos, it could be up to 3 days. They're both tummy. But carbon only applies to the gimel riyos, says the Gemara. Holin, apparently when it comes to other halachas, Tumma, counting 7 clean days as part of the Tara process, that applies equally to both types of Zav. Holy in Mishka Vamosha, regarding sitting and lying on something which makes that item Tumma Mishka Vamosha, makes it Ava Tumma. Even if he doesn't actually come into contact, he's lying on a mattress, separated from the mattress with a sheet or blankets, he's not actually touching the mattress, that's called Mishka, or his seat. There as well, that item which he interacted with assumes a very severe level of tumma, becomes an ava tumma, it's matama. A person, if that person comes into contact with that mattress. So regarding the level of tumma, usfira shiva, likewise regarding the obligation to count 7 clean days as part of the tara process, zev is a shavin. That applies to both cases of ziva. Whether he saw two riyos or three. Let's go down to Rashi, around 2-3 lines down. Gemara, Mishka v'Moshe, what does that mean? Shachav ayoshav, he lied down or he sat. Al gavei asar begadim, and 10 begadim piled up, one on top of each other. Ze al gav ze. Kulan avay satuma, every one of those things sitting beneath him is an avatuma. Afilu nogabem, even though there wasn't direct contact. So this concept of Mishka v'Moshe is unique to a zav, to a zava. And this applies regardless of whether it was two riyos or three. Says Rashi, this is different than just noga, if he just touches something. Vilu noga b'davar she'eni mishka b'moshav, if he just came into contact with something that does not constitute a seat or a like a bed. Eina el rishon l'tumah, that item becomes tummy, but it's a lighter form of tumah, rishon l'tumah. V'eni matam avdim kelim, that item cannot transfer tumah to a person or to a kli. El oichel mashkin, only to food and drink. So this concept of Mishka v'Moshav, this severe type of tumah, applies to a zav, as well as Sfiras Shiva, which is Misha Yifsek. Once the ziva stops, Sorach Limnois Zayinikim, he has to find 7 clean days in a row, Kodnish Yitba, which allows him to be Toif. If he should see ziva merely one time throughout that 7-day period, Sosar Kolamanuyin, and now cancels those days, he has to start all over. So the zav ben shtei riyos or ben sholish riyos It's all the same regarding Tuma and the need to count Shivanakim. The only difference is regarding Karban, which applies to the fellow who had three. It doesn't apply to the fellow who had two. Says the Gemara Manan Amili, how do we know that they're on the same boat regarding Tuma, and there is a distinction regarding Karban? We have two psukim describing the ziva process. Manakos of Shtayim Bekari Tamid, in one pasuk we have the Torah mentioning a twice Zav, a Zav who sees twice, and the Torah calls him Tamid. We have another pasuk, Shalish Bekari Tamid. The Torah mentions three sightings and calls him a Tamid. So which one is it, two or three? Haketat, apparently, it means as follows. Shtayim Latuma V'Shalosh L'Karv, whether he had two or three, he's Tamei. The only distinction is regarding Karvan, which applies to three and not to two. Ve'ema, perhaps we'll say the other way around. Shtayim Latuma V'Lele Karvan, when he has two, he's Tamei. He's Matamei Mishka V'Meshav, without a Karvan. Shalosh L'Karvan V'Lele Tuma, when he sees three, sure, he has a carbon, but he's absolved from this severe form of tumah. So how do you know two and three have the same dinim of tumah? The only difference is carbon. Perhaps we can speculate and say, sure, there's a difference. But go further. Say, a zav who has two riyos has tumas ziva, but no carbon. When it's three, he has carbon without tumah. That can't be. Amras, the response is, actually, rosh, shalish, rosh, time. By the time he gets to three, he already passed two. So you can't say he loses the tumma that he already got when he saw two. That's not probable. Therefore, says the Gemara, you can't say that when he has three, he loses tumma. Apparently, tumma applies equally to two and three. And the distinction is regarding carbon. Says the Gemara, well, maybe let's equate them regarding carbon and make that distinction regarding tum. Ve'emar, maybe we'll say, shtayim l'karbon, two brings a karbon, v'leg l'tumma, it doesn't have this severe form of tumma like his zav has, Rashi says, it's not good, it's a balkari, it's a lighter form of tumma. So even when he has two ears, he has to have karbon, but no tumma. Sholish ash l'tumma. Once he gets to three, now he gets the most severe form of tumma. Meaning, instead of saying that two and three on the same boat regarding tumah, the difference is regarding carbon, maybe no. They're on the same boat regarding carbon, and the chiluk is regarding tumah. Two doesn't have tumah, three does. You can't say that. You can't suggest that both types of zavim have a carbon. The sanya, we have a brisa. Regarding the pasuk of carbon, the carbon will bring the carbon, v'machaper on the zav, mi zoyve means we're selective. Carbon only applies in some cases, which means miktsas zav and mevin carbon. Only some cases of zav bring a carbon. U miktsas zav and ein mevin carbon, and some don't. So it's clear that we distinguish between some and others regarding carbon. Okay, so apparently it works as follows. Rosh Shalish, if he had three Re'yes of Zav, maybe he brings a carbon. Shtai, maybe. He's only holding at two, he doesn't bring a carbon. It's clear that we distinguish between two and three regarding carbon. So apparently, regarding other things, regarding Tuma, they're one and the same. Right? Because we had a pasuk before that said that both cases, two and three, are considered tummy. So apparently, they're on the same footing regarding tumah. It's only regarding carbon that we're machalik, based on this pasuk, that carbon only applies mizav in some cases. Or yeinoi, maybe, we'll suggest otherwise. Or yeinoi, ela ra beis, maybe. Maybe the fellow who had two brings a carbon, and not the fellow who had three. If you're looking to make a chiluk, maybe do it this way. Amris, the response is you can't say that. Achal Rosh Shalish, before he got to three, Rosh time, he experienced two. So if a fellow who has two brings a carbon, certainly when he gets three reyes, he has to bring a carbon. He doesn't lose his chiv carbon. So bottom line is, we equate them regarding tuma, and we distinguish regarding karbanis. Now we had two separate brises. We had Rabbi Simoi, who was based on the fact that we have two psukim, one pasuk describing two reyes, one pasuk describing three reyes. Apparently there's some sort of chiluk between them. We had brisa number two, by karbanis, mezoive. It only applies in some cases. We learn from there. It only applies to a baal shalish and not a baal shtayim. Why do we need both sets of psukim, which essentially are teaching us the same thing? Both are needed. We need Rabbi Simoi's set of psukim. We need the pasuk of mizoive that differentiates between different ziva situations. Both are needed. Both complement each other. If only from Rabbi Simoi's psukim, Havamina would say kikushim. We would still have that kasha. Which kasha? Perhaps we have to equate all Ziva experiences regarding karbanis. Whether it's two or three, he brings a karban. The difference is regarding tuma. That a fellow who has two doesn't have the severe form of tuma like the fellow who has three. So sure, we're drawing a line between two and three, but perhaps the line is to be drawn regarding tuma. But when it comes to karban, they all bring a karban. Kamashman mizoiva. Oh, now we have that other pasuk by karbanis. It only applies mizoiva in some cases. It's clear that we have to draw that line between two or three regarding karban. Mizoiva, if only from that pasuk, lo yadana kamar iyes. Sure, I would know that some cases of ziva bring a karban, some don't. But what is considered some and some? How many experiences? Two, three, four, five? We have no idea. Regarding numbers, Leodana Kamariyos, Kamash wanted Rabbi Simoi. That's why we need Rabbi Simoi's psukim. One pasuk speaks about two, one about three. Here you go. The two levels of ziva. The fellow who saw two, no carbon. The fellow who saw three, yes, carbon. So bottom line is, we have two types of ziva. Shtei riyos, shalosh riyos. Regarding tuma, they're both the same. They both are metame mishka b'moishim. Regarding sviras shiva nekim, they're both the same. Regarding carbon, we make that distinction. V'ashta da amras mizoive l'drasha. Once it turns out that the word mizoive is coming to tell you a drasha, carbon only applies to some cases, not others. What about the next pasuk, which also features that same word, mizoive? V'chigitar hazav mizoive. Pasuk says when the Zav is finally tar, his Ziva terminates, he goes and does Sviras Shiva Nakiyim, counts 7 days, is Tovel, and becomes tar. Mizoive. What's the drasha here? Chitar Azav Mizoive. What's it coming to tell you? My Darshas Bey. And says the Gemara, we have a reason for that drasha. We have a purpose. Homi Boile, it's needed for the following price. Lisanyu. Chitar Hazav. We learn many things from this pasuk, from the way the Torah worded this pasuk. V'chiyitar hazov, l'shiyifsik, mizayvay. Why does the pasuk have to say v'chiyitar hazov? We're speaking about hazov to tell you l'chashayifsik mizayvay. As soon as he stops experiencing ziva, he can embark on counting 7 days. He doesn't have to wait for tevila. Right away, start counting 7 days. Be tevila later. The word mizoiva is coming to tell you, v'loi mizoiva v'nigoi. Let's say this fellow on top of being a zav is also a metzera. He can start counting shiva nekim even while he's still in a metzera state. It doesn't interfere with shiva nekim for zav. Mizoiva. As long as he stops his ziva, start counting. V'loi mizoiva v'nigoi. He doesn't have to get rid of the ziva and the nega. Mizoviv is suffer. In fact, the Torah puts the word mizoviv next to the suffer. It also teaches us something. limud, it teaches us al zav val shteiris, even a zav who only had two experiences still needs shiva nekiyim shatarn, svira shivi has to count 7 days. And this is the makar for the halacha we mentioned earlier, that either zav needs to have svira shiva. Why do we need a pasuk for this? Mi zoyvei, coming to tell you that even a mixah ziva, even a partial zav, a low level zav, a two experience zav, does shiva nekiyim. What do you mean a pasuk? Vale dinu. You can just derive it from a svara. Imatame mishkav amoshev lo yitarim svira shiva. Look, we've established that he has tumah. Mishkav amoshev. Why wouldn't he have the other halachas of a zav? I.e., count 7 days. Why do we need a pasuk? Answer is, Shemar Hashem keneged yom techiach. We have a precedent. We have another example of an isha. She's passed her 7 days of nida. Now, she entered the Yimei Ziva, 11 days where she could potentially become a Zava. She sees one day, only one day. She has to keep the next day tahar, keneged yom, which corresponds to the day of Tumah. That's the halach. Shemar Hashem keneged yom techiach. That will provide a precedent to show that your equation isn't necessarily grounded. Shematame mishkav amosha. Look, she's a metame mishkav amosha. Beinatuna svira, svira shiva. She doesn't need shiva nekiyim. Let's go to Rashi on top. Shemir shem kinegedim. Haroya yom echad ishnayim v'soich echad arsur yom. Shebe nida lenida. Between this nida and the next month's nida, there are 11 days. She called yimei ziva. And she has riyas dam during those days. Right, she sees one day, as long as the next day is clean, that's okay. She'll be tabled that day. That provides a precedent to prove that you can have one without the other. We find a brisa where this isha is metame mishkav ha-meshav, but she doesn't need shiva nekiyim unless she's a full-fledged zava. She has three riyas. Two or three riyas. Actually, I think by the isha it's three riyas. In any case, here we go. A shemer yom keneged yom. She has tumah without any chiv of svira shiva. Says the one in the second line, vaf ata, and you as well. Al titma, don't wonder. I'll say on this fellow who had two riyos, this man who had two riyos of ziva, shava bishan metame mishkav amoshev. Although perhaps, not perhaps, certainly, we know he's metame mishkav amoshev. Well, yaton svira shiva doesn't mean he'll have to count 7 clean days. So you can't derive it from svara. Talmud Lama Mizayva. That's why you need that pasuk. Mizayva v'safar, which teaches you. Miktsas zayva v'safar. Even though it's only a partial ziva experience, it's only twice, not three times, v'safar. Limid al zav bal shtei re'yos shaton sviras shiva. Here we go. Even a zav who experienced ziva only twice, we'll have to apply Sfiras Shiva in the Tahara process. Okay, here we go. This is the conclusion to the Sugya. We have two types of Zav, a partial Zav, two Riyas, a full Zav, three Riyas. And which way are they equal? Which way are they different? When it comes to Tumah, equal and the same. When it comes to Sfiras Shiva, equal and the same. The only Chiluk is regarding carbon. Now it's interesting. We have the word Mizoivei twice. In one case, we seem to use it as a miut. Pasuk of carbon. V'chipur olav ha-koyin lufnei Hashem mi-zoivoy. We learn only some cases of ziva bring a carbon, meaning a full-fledged zav, three riyas, brings a carbon, but a partial zav, a two times zav, no carbon. But now we have a pasuk by Sfiras Shiva, same word, mi-zoivoy. Here it's inclusive. Even a mikta zav, even a partial zav, even a two times zav, will have svira shiva. Here the word mizayvai is excluding the fellow who saw two, no karma. And here mizayvai is including even the fellow who saw two regarding shiva nekim. Amalei Rabba Labbaye, what's going on? Maishna, what's the difference between one and the other? Maishna hai mizayvai de marbibe. When it comes to the most recent pasuk, Svira Shiva, we say mi zav is marbibe zav ashtei reis. We include even the partial zav. He needs to do svira Shiva. Who maish nahay mi zav? Why is it that the former mi zav by carbon to be marbibe zav ashtei reis? Over there we say no. It only applies to some cases. We're selective. Only the full-fledged Zav brings a carbon, not the partial Zav. Is Mizoivai inclusive or exclusive? Amalei, Abai responds, I would assume Mizoivai is coming to exclude, coming to be in mind. Only some cases have the carbon, not others. But when it comes to the second topic of Sfira Shiva, I will prove to you. So take a close look at the Pasuk. It's clear that the Pasuk there is trying to include him. Because if you will propose, if you will suggest that Mi Zoivai, in this context of Sfira Shiva, is coming to be my time to exclude him, why do you need a Pasuk? Why would I even think to include him? The Pasuk should just remain silent and not say anything. By default, he would not need Sfira Shiva. Why would I think he needs Sfira Shiva? Sfira Shiva applies to a regular Zav. A Zav has three Riyos. Not a Zav has two. Why would I include a Zav has two? So the fact that the Pasuk adds the word Mizoivai, apparently we're trying to include him as well. Perhaps you'll say, no, I would assume on my own that he's included. And that's why the Pasuk has to exclude him. V'chitema asim medina, misvara. I would say, even the Baal Shtayim needs Svira Shiva. Medina, it's a svara. Look, he has Tumma, which we proved in the Pesukim, and why wouldn't he have all the halachas of a Zav? Svira Shiva as well. You couldn't say that. We've already disproved that notion. We had a precedent. Shemeras Yom. She has Tuma, Mishka V'Moshe without Sfira Shiva. So what would you think? The Zav Baal Shtei Riyos has Sfira Shiva. By default, I would assume he does not. And apparently the Pasuk is telling you he does. That's why the Pasuk is coming, to tell you he does. Perhaps you'll argue the Pasuk is needed for something else. That this fellow who's a Zav and a Metzera doesn't have to free himself of the Tzaras before he can embark on the entire process of Ziva, like we learned earlier. Perhaps that's all the Pasuk is coming to tell you, not coming to include the Zav Baal Shtei Riyos for Sfira Shiva. Maybe. You have a point. But im ken lichtav kra, lichyitar hazav. If only for that, the Pasuk would be more concise in its expression. V'chiyitar hazav, that's it. Which indicates that as long as he's finished his ziva, he can embark on the entire process. He can disregard his tzaras. That's not part of the equation. It doesn't interfere. V'lishtek mizoivei. V'lishtek, and stop right there. Mizoivei lami. Why does the Torah add the word mizoivei? Oh, there's another lesson here. Limit is coming to tell you that even a partial ziva, even a Zav Baal Shtei Riyos will be incorporated in the entire process like anybody else. Limeid al Zav Baal Shtei Riyos Sheton Sfira Shiva. Oh, there's no other reason for the Torah to add the word Mizoivai. I would never have thought that he needs Sfira Shiva. So apparently not coming to be a Maitim. Meet is only to counter a previous notion. Include him? No. Exclude him. There's no reason to include him. And it's an extra word. That's why we apply it to be marba. Even a Zav Ashtari is, he needs Sfira Shiva Nakim as part of his Tahara process. So conclusion, we have two types of Zav. Zav Baal Shtari is, Zav Baal Gimel is. Only the Zav Baal Gimel gets a carbon regarding Mishka V'Moshev and Sfira Shiva. They're all one and the same. Continues the Mishnah. We have another distinction between two very similar cases, two types of mitzvah. Ein bein mitzvah muskar. Mitzvah muskar is a quarantine mitzvah who's sent out of town on standby. He comes back after a week. I mean, the kohen goes to him after a week, after 2 weeks, to check whether the nega remained status quo or it grew and it spread. So he's not really yet committed to tumah. He's on standby. Ein bein mitzvah muskar. There isn't much difference between a quarantine mitzvah and a mitzvah muchat. between him and a Metzora Muchat who has been issued that verdict, an absolute Metzora, he's really Tameh. Not much difference. They're both Tameh. They both reside out of the city. Ela Priya Prima. Only difference is that a Metzora Muchat who's been committed to Tumah, he has to let his hair grow, Priya, or Prima, tear his clothing. Things which don't apply to the Metzora Muskar. One more thing. Ein Bein Tor Metoich Hesker. There's not much difference between the Tahara process when he's emerging from the Hezger, the quarantine situation, as opposed to the Tahara process which the Muchlat needs to undergo. There's not much difference. Ela Teglachas v'tziporim, haircut and birds, which apply to the Muchlat and not the Muskar. So these are the only distinctions. Says the Gemara, holy nishiluach v'tumah. Apparently, when it comes to other things, sending them out of town, v'tumah. The fact that they carry very, very severe tumah on themselves. In fact, even if they walk into a house, the whole house becomes, all the content becomes tummy. Zev v'zeshev, and both the muskar and the muchat have the same halacha. How do we know this to be true? How do we know that the muskar is free from priya and prima? Perhaps Priya Prima apply to both types of Mitzvah equally. Just as Tumah v'Shiluach is universal. The Tanya of Shmuel bar Yitzchak. He had a brice and he presented it Kamei de Rav Huna v'Ana Rav Huna. Pasuk says, V'tiyarei akoy mispachasi v'chibis begodah v'toyer. So the Mitzvah Muskar, he washes his clothing and becomes toyer. Now, the word v'toyer doesn't seem to be working on future. Otherwise it would say, V'yitar, he'll become tar through this process. V'toyer, says the Gemara, evidently is referring to something of the past, to denote that he had a less severe a tumah situation, even in the past, while he was still muskar, before he went through the tar process. And we learn, tar be priya uprima dimi'ikara. That initially, while he was still quarantined, his tumah isn't so severe like the Metzora Muchlat. He doesn't have to go through the Priya or Prima process. If that's the case, Gabi Zav. We have a similar Lashon by Zav. The Chsiv V'chibes Begodah V'Toher. Hasam over there, the word V'Tor referring to the past. My V'Tor Mi'Karika. How could it apply to the past? He's a Zav. He wasn't so Tame while he was a Zav. That's not so. Oh. Ella, apparently you have to apply it a bit differently than you suggested. The word Vitor is telling you some sort of leniency regarding his Tumah status right now. Let's say he was a Zav, became Tor, he was Tevel. Then later on in the day, he re-experienced Ziva. Now it turns out that he was Tumah all along, retroactively. But we have a Kula. Elo Tor Hashta. At this point, after he's Tevel. Even if he'll end up seeing Tumah later, which makes him Tumah retroactively, but right now he's Tor Melatame Klicheres Behesed. This is unique to Azav. If he pushes around the Kli, even an earthenware Kli, which isn't Metame from the outside, but if he pushes it around, it's called Hesed. He moves it around, that's Metame the Kli. Even without directly touching it, he's Metame the Kli. So once this Zav achieved Tahara, now he can no longer be Matame Behesed. Afagav the Hadar Chazi, even though later on in the day he re-experienced Ziva, which really makes him Tame retroactively. It turns out that he was never really Tartar. La Matame la Mafra, he's not going to be Matame that Kli that he moved around. It's a special Kula. While he was Tar, he can't be Matame Behesed. So perhaps that's what the Pasuk means. But Tar means that right now, once he's Tevel, he assumes a Tahara status to a certain extent, that even after that Tahara status is reversed, but to a certain extent, his Tahara sticks, regarding Klicheres Behesed. Hachanami, perhaps here as well, when it comes to the Metzora Muskar, where the Torah also employs the Lashon Vitar, it's not alluding to the past, that when he was a Muskar, he's free of those other obligations, Priya, Priya. No, it's just another aspect of his Tahara going forward. Tor Hashtem Lotam Abiel Mafreya. Once he's Tor from Muskar, he lost his Nega, he becomes Tor, and he walks into a home. And later on it turns out that his neger returns. We don't say he's metame b'bil mafreya. Anything that home becomes tamei retroactively. No. Once he's tar, he assumes tahara status going forward, even though the tahara becomes undone later. That's all. We're speaking about this particular case, this specific aspect of tahara going forward. You have no raya to anything during the time of Hesker. The Torah is not referring to past, it's referring to going forward. So it takes back to Akasha. How do we know that a Mitzurah Muzgar, a quarantined, locked up Mitzurah, doesn't need to let his hair grow, but there is clothing? Why is it different than a Mitzurah Muchlat, who needs to go through that process? Elam Rav, I'll tell you. I'll give you a Machav in the following Pasuk. When the Pasuk describes what the Tzerua, what the fellow that has a nega has to undergo, letting his hair grow long, tearing his clothing. The Pasuk says like this, Vatzaru asher boy hanega, the fellow who has tzaras, who the nega is within him. Now obviously, if you don't have a nega, you're not a mitzera. We learn like this, Mitra tzarat et tluy begufay, only a fellow whose mitzera status depends on the presence of his nega in his body. That's a mitzera muchlat. Only this fellow has that priya o prima. Yotze says, as opposed to the muskar, who follows other guidelines. It's more of a time-related situation. He has to wait a week, wait 2 weeks, and then he's free to go. Yotze says, as opposed to the muskar, shein tzarat ha-tluy b'gufo, his tzarat status is not really dependent on the presence of his nega in his body. El b'yam. It's more of a time-related issue. And therefore, he doesn't have the same chumra. He doesn't have to go through priya uprima. If that's the case, what about the next pasuk? Describing Shiluach, sending the Mitzurah out of town. Kol yimei asher ha-nega boy yitma. As long as the nega is there, he's tummy, and he's sent out of town. We're going to say the same thing here. Misha tzarat etluy begufay, only the fellow whose tzaras status is dependent upon the presence of the nega in his body, who the ton shiluach, he needs to be sent out of town, i.e. a Mitzurah muchlat. As opposed to the Mitzurah Muskar, whose Sarah status is not dependent upon the presence of his neg in his body, ain't Ton Shiloh, doesn't need to be sent out. That's not correct. We suggest that that's true? Well, it's not true. Vaktani, Mishnah clearly says, ain't be Mitzurah Muskar, or Mitzurah Muchlat. The only difference between two types of Mitzurah is Ela Priya Prima, hair and clothing. Apparently, when it comes to sending him out of town, you got that ability to matame the content of a home upon entering that home. Both mitzvahim have the same ability, the same tumah, the same shiluach. Amalei, Rava responds. The apostle could have said, "Yimei hanegah b'yitma." You sent him out of town. Yimei, call yimei. Why does the apostle add the word call? The rabbi's mitzvah muskel shiluach to tell you that even a Mitzurah Muskar is included in this requirement, in this Shiluach process. He sent out of town. So bottom line is, both Mitzurah Muskar and Muchlat are sent out of town. A Matame, the severe form of Tumah called Tumas Bia when they enter a home. Everything in the home is Tame. The only distinguishing factor is priya or prima, letting hair grow long, tearing up the clothing. That applies to a muchlat and not a muskar. Okay, the Bach takes out the next seven words. Let's go over to ein bein. Right, the Mishnah says ein bein tor meter chesker. The next chiluk between the two mitzurim is regarding the tahara process. There's not much difference between the tahara process meter chesker, the term to hechlet, to the tahara process applied to the mitzvah muchlet, ela teglachas v'tzeperim, the requirement to shave off all hair and bring birds. Rashi actually points out that, of course, the mitzvah muskar is potter from karbonis as well, and they look shemen, but the Gemara here is focusing on what takes place on the seventh day when he becomes tar. We're not discussing the process taking place on the next day, on the eighth day. So on the seventh day, what sets them apart is teglachas v'tzipar. How do we know? Amar Abaye, Amar Kro. V'yatza, HaKoyinim Chutz L'machane. The Kohen goes out, checks out the Metzera, and then they embark on the entire process, which involves Teglachas and Tzipar. Pasuk says, V'hinei, look, behold, Nirpa Nega HaTzaras. Look, the Nega Tzaras became healed. We learn, Misha Tzarate Tlui Berfuyis. This only applies to a fellow whose Tzaras, or I should say the removal of his Tzaras, is dependent upon refuah, healing. It's the only way for him to become free of his tzaras, is to get healed. He has to heal his nefesh, and then his guf follows. Yotze says, as opposed to the Mitzrayim Musker, doesn't have to wait for healing. Even if the nega just stays status quo, he'll become Torah as well, as long as it doesn't spread. Yotze says, as opposed to the Mitzrayim Musker, Shein Tzarat HaKluy B'Refuah, his tzaras status is not dependent upon refuah, elabiyam, rather, it's a day, it's a time-related malady, and therefore the process of Tahara entailing Taglachas and Tzeparim don't apply to him. Okay, so in summary, we have two types of Mitzera, Muskar and Mukhlut. The only differences between the two are that Mitzera Mukhlut has Priya or Prima, letting his hair grow long, taking apart his clothing, as well as the Tahara process, which involves Taglachas and Tzeparim. However, when it comes to sending them out of town, or the severity of the tumah they're both experiencing, that applies to both equally. Okay, says the last and final Mishnah on today's daf, number 5, Ein bein svarim l'tfilin mezuzis. There isn't much difference between svarim, as she says, svarim is Tanakh, Torah and Nevi'im Ksuvim, which they used to write in scroll form. There's not much halachic difference between that and tfilin and mezuzis. Ela, only as follows. Shasforim nichtavim mechaloshim. Tanakh can be written using any language. English, French. Ut tefillin and mezuzahs einon nichtavos ela ashurs. As opposed to tefillin and mezuzahs, we learn from a pasuk v'hayu. The only way that they're written is using ashurs. Lashon kodesh. Special alphabet called ashurs. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Leimar. Af esforim li'yitiru she'yikasvu or she'yichtavu ela yivanis. He disagrees. He says, even when it comes to Tanakh, we only allow Greek and no other language. The Gemara will explain the reason for this. So the chiluk is regarding language. Says the Gemara, Holotayfron Begidin. Apparently, when it comes to other halachas, such as the requirement to tie them using Gidin sinews, so when you tie together, when you sew, I should say, when you sew together the sections of the Torah, Nevi'im Uksuvim, or in a tefillin, or a mezuzah, a Torah perhaps, to sew them together, you have to use Gidin. Ulatame Seyedayim, and their ability to metame one's hands, we discussed this yesterday, they used to place their truma, the scrolls, the mice used to come damage the scrolls while consuming the food. Hacham said, scrolls are metame one's hands, make them a shem tuma, which in turn is metame the truma upon contact. A special takana discussed in Mesechus Shabbos, which applies to kisvei kodesh, to scrolls that have kedush. So apparently, when it comes to these halachas, the Teifron Begidin, and the Tamas Yedayim is Evez Hashavim. All those mentioned in the Mishnah, Tanakh, Tefillin Mezuzahs, are equal and the same. Okay, so we had a total of 5 Mishnahs in today's daf, discussing distinctions and similarities. Okay, let's start up on top. We have 2 cases of Mudar, Mudar Hano, promise not to enjoy anything from his chaver. We have a fellow who's Mudar Machal. I won't take anything food-related. Only the Mudar Hana must refrain from Drisas HaRegel, walking through this guy's property, or borrowing Kalim, which aren't food-related. In either case, a Kli, which is food-related, or, as Rashi pointed out, a Kli, which is Maskirin, which they rent out, in which case he's saving you money, that would be usher in either case, because a penny saved is a penny earned, which can be used for food. We have Nadarim, where a person obligates. It's a personal obligation to bring a carbon. We have Nadavis, where he sets aside a specific animal to be used as a carbon. Only the Neder is Chai Bachrais. We have the Zav, who had 2 Re'yais, a Zav, who had 3 experiences. Only the one who had 3 brings a carbon. In either case, they are Metame Mishkav HaMoshev and need Sviras Shivanaki. A Metzer Muskar, who was locked up until further notice. And the Metzer Muchat, who has been committed to Tumah, already received his verdict, his psak of Tumah, are pretty much the same, except that a Mitzvah Muchlat has Priya Prima Teglachas V'tziparim upon Tahara. In either case, they're sent out of town, and they have Dine Tumas Mitzvah. We learned that Tanakh can be written in any language, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, only Yevanis, whereas Tefillah Mezuzahs must be written in Lashon HaKodesh exclusively. When it comes to other halachas, Tefillah Begidin and Tumas Yudayim, they're all equal and the same. All the best to you and much atzlacha.